Natalie Shea, and you're listening to Interview Under Fire.
I thought you liked that, dance around the coin. We were the same hat, but I never took it.
All right, everyone out there, I want to welcome you all back to a brand new edition of Interview Under Fire. This is your beloved host, In Sunny, and today I'd like to welcome the multi-award winning, yes, indie pop artist from London, and Natalie Shea. Remember that name, because I've been looking forward to this one for a while. Natalie, it's an honor. Thank you for joining our IUF series today. First off, Jesus, what a crazy last few months, really, for you, leading up to the drop of your newest single, The Edge, which just dropped like a couple days ago, surely making the rounds out there on the streaming platforms. I want to also start off by first congratulating you on all the well-deserved recognition your music has been getting so far. I mean, I think this is also the follow-up from the Milk EP. Shout out to the other outlets like, what is it, Billboard, Clash, Notion, BBC Radio, MX Down, who have praised your work. Before we get to all that, all right? We talked about it before the interview started. I mean, I don't think she said a word here since we connected. I've been like, just like, talking about all the recognition she's been having. I'm going to ask you a very important question, all right? A serious one. You ready?
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready.
You're from London.
Yes.
All right. Let me point that out. If you were a Spice Girl, what would your Spice Girl name be?
Oh, good question. Oh my God. Can I take a minute? Give me a sec.
And people who are listening to like the audio version, it almost sounds like we're listening to a Spice Girl, because it's just give me a minute. All right. I got it. And I'm drinking out of my Spice Girls mug here, by the way. So cheers.
Hang on, you can cut the army out.
we can always come back to this question if we're
no, gonna, like,
I put you on the spot already. Oh my goodness.
What do they give them to them based off of, like, their character trait, or just
I guess like I mean, Ginger Spice was kind of easy because she had the red hair, and then Sporty Spice,
yeah,
I guess she was a tomboy like at the time, and then Baby Spice, I think it's because she had the she had like the pigtails, like it's the style, you know. So
I'll go for Leggy Spice, because I'm really tall. I'm like 6 foot nearly.
Wait, say that again.
Leggy. I'm quite leggy.
Leggy Spice. I'm gonna hashtag. Okay, we're starting it now. Hashtag Leggy Spice. Okay.
Leggy
Spice. So this is important. Okay, this could go a long way.
Google Leggy Spice, you probably get
Leggy Spice. That's actually very creative. Now, you know, everything I've already mentioned, right, Natalie? First off, how are you? Like, I even got to ask, you know, like the recognition, like it's a lot. Have you had the chance to stop for a moment to just take this all in? You know, first off, let's start with how are you?
Yeah, like I'm okay. Like since the song's been out, it's been very full on. Like I've got a very busy period sort of from now until end of April. And I'm just sort of just trying to take each day and not get overwhelmed, because there's so much to do and think about. And I'm just trying to think of like each day, like if I start and think about everything that's coming, then I just can't, and I'll just hide in my bed and not get out. So I just need to think about like trying to tackle each week, not like in a bad way, just there's a lot coming up and it's a lot of pressure, and I want stuff to, and I want to do good, you know. So
I mean, it just feel like you've been on this like go 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 pace, like releasing some amazing music in these last few years or so. Like we can even take this conversation to just stop for a moment, you know, like it's take a deep breath and, you know, kind of just look back at what you've done so far. Like it's have you had the chance, like, you know, do you do things like that? Do you reflect, like how much of a person are you when it comes to that? I know for the last couple of years, I've been like very nostalgic. I mean, people who on this show already know how nostalgic I am.
All right. Yeah, I think I got better at it after COVID. Like that year made me change my mindset. I didn't really value anything I'd done, and I was only looking ahead. And I just always felt like I hadn't done anything, because I never acknowledged anything. So since 2020, my mindset's changed a bit. Mm-hmm. I haven't really had time to reflect on this like particular release yet, but I know I will at the end. It's part of it. It's somebody told me something like, focus more on the journey than the end goal, because the end goal is not like permanent, because it always changes anyway, but mm-hmm. the journey will always be the same. So focus on that.
I know you mentioned 2020. Now, Natalie, I want to kind of switch the gears here, because I want to wind the clock back a little bit further, okay? Because, all right, stick with me here. 2011, okay? Maybe even before that, Because for
Okay.
fans and listeners who may not know, and I mentioned you originally from London, you've been at this for a while. Okay,
Oh yeah.
that's one thing I want to mention. If you could briefly just talk about that defining moment in your life that kicked off this version into who you are today, because I always like asking questions like, when did you come to the realization that this is what you wanted to do with your life?
Yeah, I'm very young. This is my 11th year. I celebrated 10 years last summer of like having done it, I'd say properly, but I guess like I was doing it before that. It's just that was the point that it was proper. So at age sort of 11, I think I decided I wanted to do it. I saw Taylor Swift play at the O2 Arena and I was like, that's really cool. I want to do that. I was obsessed. I've been playing classical guitar since I was like 5. I've been doing musical theatre since I was a kid as well. So like I was always singing and doing guitar, but it was never like it was just for fun. Like it wasn't, my parents weren't like, oh, you're gonna do this. It was literally just like so that I had skills. Like it was never like a sort of chase to sort of make that into a career. It was just stuff I did outside school. And then when I was like 11, I started writing songs because I just thought Taylor Swift was super cool and what she was doing and how expressive. And I just, yeah, I enjoyed doing that. And then when you have loads of songs, eventually you have to go and play them live. So I started playing them live in 2012, and then I kind of marked that as the start. Yeah, 2012, the summer.
I'm thinking about like years like 2011, 2012. Like Facebook was popular, you know. I think
Yes.
YouTube was maybe not even like YouTube wasn't even like a decade old yet, you know. It's
When I started, the Ways In were doing YouTube covers. Spotify wasn't a thing. It was about iTunes playlists. Yeah, like getting on the singer-songwriter top 200 chart. Like that's the target you needed to get for like a successful release. Like Spotify wasn't a thing. It was mainly just about like those things, and it was like there was kind of only sort of two avenues that you could even release if you're an independent artist. Like you could use like CD Baby, but like all of the masses of distributors and distribution deals weren't really a thing. They weren't really accessible for like people because have you made a deal or you're doing it independently. Like there wasn't so much. Like now I feel like a lot of the power has been given back to the artist, and you can just kind of, if you want to put something out, you can find someone that's going to help you put that out. You don't have to do it all yourself. Like it's a bit different now, but yeah, it's been interesting to watch the model change like over the 10 years that I've been doing it, because people ask me now like, what advice would you give? I'm like, well, the advice I would have given you for when I was 13, like now I would just say use TikTok, but like back then that was like
I was gonna say like you kind of stuck ahead to the schedule because TikTok. I mean, 10 years ago, nobody knew. I don't think we even had apps at that time. Like BlackBerry was like now we're like reflecting on
yeah.
like those times, right? Apps were new. Like BlackBerry was like the phone back then, and
It
I think
was.
smartphones were just coming out. Like you started at a very unique time because it kind of just transitioned you into now, and now you're taking advantage of, you know, TikTok, Instagram,
Yeah.
and you know, you mentioned Taylor Swift. I wonder what, like, the music scene at the time, right? When you were doing this, what
Yeah.
else were you listening to? You know, did your parents listen to any music that, hey, I think this is awesome, or any shows that you went to? Like, what stood out to you? You mentioned Taylor Swift, but I wonder other things that were happening in
Yeah,
your life at that time.
I'd grown up obviously like same times as like when Camp Rock and Hannah Montana were what we were being shoved.
All
It's
right,
like,
now we're really throwing it back at Hannah Montana.
like I was in the world, the Disney world, where like being a singer, like that's what success is. Like that was what, well, that was what you wanted to be. So like it was kind of at that time, like High School Musical, Hannah Montana, Camp Rock. Like you, it was what everyone wanted to do. Like everyone wanted to be doing that. So I kind of feel like everybody I knew was doing it, but obviously I wanted to do it seriously. Like I feel like lots of people just love doing fun. So yeah, that was, I guess, the what planted the seeds. So I was really into Miley Cyrus when she sort of came out of the Hannah Montana period. Her first album, Breakout, like is one of my favorite albums to this day. I think it's really, really good. I'm a massive Taylor Swift fan. Then sort of UK artists like Kate Nash, because she's like a
I
storyteller.
love Kate Nash. Oh
Yeah.
my good. Thank you so much for mentioning her. Shout out to Kate
Oh
Nash,
no,
by
of
the way.
course.
She's a
That
great
was,
actor too.
yeah.
For people who haven't seen Glow, she's amazing in that show. Anyway, by
Yeah.
the way, I actually discovered her from Glow, and then I went back and listened to her, like her artist, like as a singer. Like, holy shit, she's great.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt you, but yeah,
No,
shout out to
it's
Kate
good.
Nash.
Yeah. She was one of my first sort of British inspirations, and kind of Taylor Swift. And then I got to like 13, 14, and I got into indie bands. I had my period where I had to really get into indie bands because I was a teenager. So I was into like, I was one of the first in the first fandom, first wave of 1975 fans. Like I was in that that period of time when they first came up, and like Arctic Monkeys, The Vaccines, Two Door Cinema Club, like that was my era of music. And I feel like that still is my era of music, because then I became a musician, and I feel like the way that you appreciate music once you understand how it all works versus how you appreciate it when it's still magical and you're still behind the curtain and it's all just beautiful and amazing. Like, I feel like that was the last time I enjoyed music as a fan, and that is still the music that I will go to and be like, this is the music I like. Everything I've kind of enjoyed since, obviously I enjoy it as a fan, but I've got the ear of somebody who does this as a job. There's going to be a level of critical thinking. I'm looking at them like, what are they doing that I'm not doing? Like, it's not just sitting back and enjoying it. It's kind of like, I compare it to the analogy of like, once you learn to drive, you can't get in a taxi and not look anymore. Like, I can't sit in a car now and be driven without looking like where we're going, like even if I'm not driving, because I just feel like it's once you understand that. But where were the days before I knew how to drive and I could just sit in the car and be driven and not be looking like if we're going to pull out or not? So it's kind of the same with music. I think once you do it, it changes how you appreciate it. You appreciate it, like, it's more interesting, there's more to look out for, but that sort of initial magic does go. But not in a bad way, but it just does, because you it's not magical when you understand how it happened. Like,
Interesting you mentioned how being appreciative of what you just talked about, right? Because here's the thing, Natalie, you're talking about the shows that you've been to, the bands you've seen. And by the way, a lot of those bands, like even I grew up listening to, and
sure.
Arctic Monkeys are actually coming to Texas here
Oh,
later on
cool.
this year. And I think like, I think it's, I'm pretty sure a lot of the dates, if not most of them, like sold out. I mean, and they're an essential part of like, I think our generation of musicians, as far as like Arctic Monkeys. But
Yeah.
I want to stick on the subject of like the touring life and the live music experience for you personally, because here's the thing. I ask this a lot because I get a different answer. I think most artists give me a different answer because it's a very unique question. But first, I want to mention this because you are a performer and it's a big deal that you sold out the London's Camden Assembly. All right. You also played in Hyde Park's BST Festival, the Reading Festival, Why Not Festival, Priority Festival. I mean, 110 and all the above, right? Right? Because that's what the festival is. And not only that, you played those shows, but you're also headlining the London's prestigious Omira on March 3rd.
Yes, that's
What is it? that's a big deal. And then you're following that up with, of course, your first appearance in the US with the South by Southwest Festival here in Austin. And then you have a tour with Jacob Lee. I mean, like
it's a bit, lots of
it just a bit, right?
yeah, it's
But
nice.
the point I'm trying to make is like, whether we're a fan or a performer, right? Live music, I feel like, is that a it's that it is a different form of art in what you do and what we do, considering how much touring is going on lately, right? Especially when this was something that was stripped away from us 3 years ago.
Right, yeah.
That's one thing to make note of. Would you say you have a newfound appreciation of that experience now? Because has that something that it's crossed your mind? Because I don't know if someone asked me, yeah, definitely. I'm trying to go as many shows as I can. I
Yeah.
mean, I'm tonight we're covering Suki Waterhouse. I don't know if you know who she is. She's performing in Dallas tonight. I've never seen her live, but I'm just gonna go because it's just being in that environment. Just it, you feel like that's where you belong, And I'm going
Yeah.
off on a tangent here, but you have a newfound appreciation. Would you say that?
Yeah, I think it's there's a newfound appreciation. There's also just a sort of because obviously I'm on the sort of I'm making the product side, and I've seen the way that other people's attitudes have changed to going to shows. Like, there was a scene in London that I came up through, like the London gig scene. And I used to play like 3 4 times a week, and I did that for like 8 years. And then with COVID, that died, and it hasn't really come back at all. Like, I'm not aware that there's a London gigging scene like there was. Like, I don't think it's really there. Like, I don't know if it's that I've sort of progressed and now I'm not really in that circle, but I just don't think that it's there. Like, my friends that I used to meet doing that aren't doing it anymore, so I'm sad for that. I'm sad that that never recovered, because there was never much money in it, but we weren't doing it for the money. We were doing it because it was art and it was fun, and people loved to come and hear songs and blah blah blah. And I think a lot of the venues like had to close, and a lot of the promoters had to find a new job, and like it just kind of died. And I don't think that's really a thing anymore. So I'm sad about that. But because of that, yes, I do appreciate live more now, because it's not as often as it used to be for me. Like, it used to be all the time. Like, I was always playing always had stuff that was coming up, and I know, like, as you grow your fan base more, you do less shows because, like, you want to do the bigger ones, and I get that, and I know that, like, I would be doing less, but it would be nice to still have to, like, now and then, to just maybe every other week, to just go and try out some new songs and just go and play a gig like I used to, and just go and try that out, because you just can't anymore. It's not really there, like, and I'm sad about that. So yeah, I do really appreciate it now. Every
And you
opportunity.
know, I love that you share that, you know, because aside from the music, I also am always intrigued to hear about other aspects of an artist's life that potentially feed into their creativity and personality, right? Of course, the last thing we want to do these days is revisit the dreaded 2020 because
Yeah.
it's like a blur. I don't know about you, but I'm mentally still recovering from 2019 because because somehow we aged like 3 years and now it's
Yeah,
2023,
I'm
you
running
know.
now. I'm like 24. When did that
And
happen?
if I'm not mistaken, you released your Naked EP during that time,
Oh,
right? Not an easy
yeah.
thing to do. There's no protocol to
No.
follow for a pandemic. It's like, okay, here's what we do. But you
No.
dropped this awesome EP, and yes, I went back and heard that. Songs like "Not the Girl," "Owe It to You," the title track on that. You also did some collaborations, if I'm not mistaken, with Kreider, who's an EDM artist. I mean, here's the thing: staying busy during the pandemic, right? It was an important thing, but aside from the music. You know, tell me about this. Did that time open up new things for you that you may not have discovered before about yourself? It's something that you can take
Oh
with
yeah,
you
like,
going forward. Maybe something that doesn't involve music. I don't know. It's there's
yeah,
so much
definitely.
to explore about that.
No, honestly, literally every, like, I know it was an awful thing to have happened, and I don't for a minute think that COVID was a good thing, but for me personally, like, I managed to make it good for me in lots of ways, and not just like it took time away from like live, for example. So I was playing, so I was focusing more on like the business side of things. So I built my team that year, and I was doing a lot of calls and stuff I perhaps wouldn't have had the time for because I was doing other stuff before. So it gave me more time to sort of progress my career in that sense. But I think just me and my group of friends, like, we grew up so much, like, we got so close and we discovered so much. I think it just came at a time when we were all slightly different ages, like, some were 18, some were 21. Like, we're all at these milestone ages at this one time, and it hit us all at the same time. And I just think how close we were at that period of time, and what it was like, and what happened, and how it made me appreciate my family more, and family time, or like things that I was like, oh, I can't wait to like be so rich that I can like move away. And then I just wasn't like that anymore. And I'm just like, no, you've got to, like, your family are the most important thing, your friends are the most important thing, the relationships you have to like water those friendships and nurture those friendships and relationships, or you just will lose them. And they're the most important thing. That is what builds a person, is the people that come into your life, whether good or bad. Like, that's what builds you. And it's really, really changed me, honestly. Yeah. I think I've grown up so
I think we all have in a sense. I remember the first few months when that when this all hit. It was interesting because I was able to like pick up on the things that I kind of just didn't want to do, like something like laundry, like so, you know, something simple like that. Oh, okay, I can actually clean up the house and all that and so on and so forth. It was definitely the my dog's best time of his life because I was home every day. But you know, you know, I've learned a lot about myself. About my peers, I'm sure you know, like you just mentioned, you know, around the world, really. And it's nice to see we're, you know, knock on wood, we're on the other side of that now. And I feel like we could talk about that forever and ever because there's just so much about that year that just it's gonna stick with us for the rest of our lives. That's what's crazy. And speaking of crazy, let's get to the edge because this is the follow-up because we talk about everything but the music. This is the follow-up from your latest EP, Milk. The Milk was dropped last year in 2022. I went back and heard that, all right? From songs like New Wave to Outgrow to Heaven, which Heaven, that may be my personal favorite. That's been on the
Oh, thank
replay a lot. You, I feel like now if you have a drink or anything like that, please feel free to take a sip because I got a lot to say right now because you have this. You have this sixth sense, I feel like, on creating these spirited and contagious anthems within your songs. You know, it really connects the listener. I come from a family of musicians, Natalie. So you know, my mom's a singer, so
Oh, cool.
it's just like embedded into my DNA. And these energetic melodies and turning it into these indie pop sounds where I'm starting to like recognize your voice at this point, you know, when I hear it. And I remember Atwood magazine, I believe they did a great piece on the EP. If you haven't read it, I recommend a lot of listeners go check that out. This new song here, you know, The Edge, it's like you took on what you have made and learned on Milk and created an encore almost. Is it just me that's noticing this, or was this intentional? Because I feel like this was like a bridge almost. You drop the Milk EP, then you have The Edge, and then you're kind of just teasing the listener into what's to come down the road. You know,
that's how not just the music, just my whole life. That EP was written in 2021, kind of like just after that first year of the lockdown. And it was written in sort of sessions that were like, we were allowed to do them because they were sessions, but no one was still allowed up. Like, they were all kind of the only human interaction I was having. And they were all about things I learned that year or stuff that happened that year, which is fine. But like, it's since that time that I've really grown up, really reflected, and like the way that the industry shifted again, like since then, and the way that music's going now is more in the sort of realm of like what I actually like indie music is what I like. And it hasn't been that for a while. It's been a bit sugary. And like, obviously you should always do what you're true to, but when you're trying to launch a career, like you have to play the game a bit. You have to sort of produce in the way. And like, it's not been quite to what I would like, and the stuff's going in the direction of guitars now, which I'm so happy about, because this is what I've waited my life to do. Like, when I first started, I was always playing guitar live, and every like manager, every label I spoke to, they were like, oh, put the guitar down, why are you playing with the guitar, like guitars are cool, or like, can you perform without a guitar? I had this for years and years and years, people telling me not to do it, and now everyone's doing it, and most of the people that are doing it now are miming, and I'm just like, for goodness sake, like, I can actually play. So this is my time to shine. I'm so excited. Like, indie pop guitar music is coming back. This is like what I've waited my life for. I do feel like everything just all put together, and this is also the quickest turnaround, because I only wrote The Edge like 6 months ago, and normally I wrote in July, like not even, like normally it takes like 2 years for stuff to come out, or a long time, but like this one I was like, no, like the emotion's fresh, this has just happened, I love the song, I'm getting it out, and I just that's what happened.
It was crazy. When I was hearing this song, I was like, I thought I missed something. I was like, is this a bonus track on like Milk or something? I went back and looked at the track list, and it wasn't. And this is a whole different separate song. And by the way, yes to the guitar. You pull that look off so well. Not only do you pull it off, but you play really well too. So I love that.
Thank you.
And I'm going to throw some numbers at you, all right? So you mentioned this briefly earlier, but we didn't really come back to it yet. I'm going to come back to this because you've also landed on Spotify's New Music Friday playlist in 12 countries, and have also worked on, like I said, with Grum and Kreider on EDM tracks. You racked up over 7 million Universal streams to date. I mean, all the while selling out venues in London. Here you are, right? New year, new song, maybe even a new chapter, if you want to even go that route. You know, when you hear recognition right like that, Natalie, like I mentioned from the other outlets, you mentioned pressure, you know?
Yes.
Do you feel like it's a good thing or a bad thing for you? Like, I know it's like when you decide to sit down and write again for new material, for a new song, even just a follow-up, how much of that does it bother you? Does it, like, it's like, okay, what do I do? Yeah. What do I do? Okay, I gotta, how do you block something like that out? Because pressure, it's a different gauge for every person in the world, especially for someone like you who's rising as fast as you are, you know.
I really struggle with pressure. I really struggle with stress. Like, that people ask me like what my problems are, they're the two problems, like that is my problem. I can't handle it. It's difficult. I have to sort of take time every day to figure out how I'm going to process the day and how I'm going to feel. And like, I feel like when you're doing this kind of thing, like the way you think about yourself and the way you think about your life, and that comes from sort of external people, because you always meet people that don't get what you're doing and they don't get that it's a thing. And like, I'll just meet someone, like somebody I know, or like somebody from home or someone, and they'll ask me about it, and they'll be like, oh, how's the singing going? And they'll sort of trivialize it. And then I'm like, oh, okay, so I haven't actually done anything, because nobody actually realizes that this is a career. Like, they still see this as a hobby. And you've got that from that angle. And then you've got all the people that are like, you've done so amazing, you're doing so amazing. Like, how does it feel to have done so amazing? And like, all this stuff. Like, it's so difficult. It's a really, really difficult. And this is the first time that I've had, like, in the last sort of year, I've had a team, like an actual team, like a team that actually make money from me. Like, I never had like a certified team before, so that's added to the whole pressure, because I feel like there's more people to let down, there's more people that are waiting on things from me. More people I have to prove right. Like, I know it's not like this, but it's like, well, this is also their dream now, like they're chasing my dream with me, and it's like, well, I have to also stay completely 100% in it, because it's not just me now. And I obviously want that, and it's lovely to not be alone. But like on the days where I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed or like not so confident in myself, like those are the days where all of that gets too much. It's really hard. I'm not going to act like it's easy because it's not. It's not. The
No,
mental
no.
stuff, like the pressure and the like, like the way that the attitude now is, it's quality over quantity now with TikTok is just kind of, I think, ruining music, ruining the quality of music. It's everything's just generally going down because we've got to get stuff out so quickly. Nothing really matters. You've got to have a release every two months, and it's got to be on TikTok, and you've got to do a dance for it. And it's like all this stuff's got to happen. But it's like back when I started, it was about writing something, spending time on it, like swapping things out, being like, oh, that's not good enough, taking ages. Like however long it takes to build something, it's got to be perfect, and getting it out and longing that release out for like 6 months and focusing on it. And like that's what I thought it was going to be, and it's just changed so much recently, and not in a way that I think really complements like the way that I was programmed to do this. And I think I do struggle to keep up with it, but just as long as you keep writing loads of songs, then you just sort of can keep on
But
it.
it's exhausting though. You know, you're thinking about like TikTok. It's like, do I have to do it? Like, okay, I gotta release a new. I gotta. You have to almost like keeping up with your competitors almost.
Yeah.
And you run into that. And by the way, thank you so much for sharing that, because I feel like if you sometimes pressure could be, it's a tricky thing, because sometimes it's almost a good thing that there is pressure, because it shows that you care about your craft. It shows you
Oh
have
yeah.
dedication to what you do. And it's okay to feel like that, but I'm telling you, Natalie, it's okay to chill also, you know, because you do have a really good team. You do have people who are looking out for you.
Yeah.
I mean, your music reached out to someone like me who, and I've been following your work for the last couple of years, and finally getting it on here, you know. I do want to mention that it's okay to just take a step. Sometimes it's okay to take a step back and look at it from the outside, because as you move up the ladder of, I don't know, fame, if there is something like that, you kind of lose yourself along the way, and almost to the point of you get desensitized, you know? That's always one thing.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of get numb, and it doesn't seem like you're gonna head down that path, because you're so authentic, you're so passionate about what you're talking about. As you're talking to me, you're like, there's like no stoppage into what you're saying. You just
Oh,
keep
sorry.
like
Yeah.
you're no, it's great, because it shows that you know what you're doing, you know?
I think because
Also,
I've done it so long and I've wanted it for so long, and I've never been lucky. Like people always say, like, "Oh, you're so lucky," but I've never caught a little lucky break. I've never caught a lucky break in music. I know lots of
yeah.
people that have, and I obviously like I've been lucky. But you make your own luck when you haven't caught those lucky breaks. You have to just keep working and make the luck come to you. But I've never like played in a coffee shop and like an A&R's been there, or like had someone come along and be like, "Do you want to come on tour?" Like I've never had this big lucky break. So everything has been me, and it's been on an upwards incline, but for ages. Like it's been going for years. And I think when you do it for so long and you've never had any luck, you've never had any moments that make it seem easier than it is, like you're really in touch with it. And I think this is why like I'm at this position, and I do talk to a lot of artists who have done it for as long as me and get it. And we all think the same thing. It's not just me. Everyone, most people are in the same boat. Like people that have done it a long time and are like have built something from scratch, or like haven't got a parent that knows someone somewhere. Like those who started just and did.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And that's why I wanted to mention, you know, w where you started, you know, and that's why I mentioned years like 2011. You know, we talked
Yeah.
about that. You know, I don't think people know that side of you. That's why I wanted to give this platform over to you to talk about it. And
No,
also, people
I'm
and people who don't know, real quick, The Edge was also broadcasted by freaking BBC Radio. I mean,
Yeah.
okay,
I
that's not by accident, all right? That's
was
your
on
heart.
time.
That's what is it, a couple days ago. I remember you posted that video of your reaction. That's really cool. That's
Yeah.
really shows like all the hard work and determination to get to where you want to get. And The Edge, I'm gonna dive into the song a little bit further. This is an amazing song, first off, okay?
Thank you.
Because
It's my favorite.
there's also that B-side, also Everything's Been Happening. And with these two songs, you know, it's almost like one complements the other, like kind of like a
Yeah.
part one, part two. You know, there's a whole new world that we're also being sucked into and invited into here. Even the music video is amazing. The bulk of
Thank
these
you.
songs, right? And here's the thing. I come from a film background, so I've directed music videos before, so I'm like, oh, I know exactly what's going on here. That like I was just following along. I watched that music video over and over. But you mentioned how,
Oh.
you know, the bulk of these songs, and maybe even the bulk of most of your songs, you mentioned, I'm gonna quote you here, a lot of my mental health, personality, and entire identity are completely wrapped up in my work. That quote right there, I feel like exemplifies everything that you just mentioned in the last 5 minutes. And this song here, you mentioned how, you know, as I was discovering, you know, when they were sending me like what you talked about, what the song was, it shows in the music video, tells a story of how once you finally came out of something that had grown worse or bad for you, you reflect on it and realize so many cracks showed long before you accepted that as a case. You know, walk me through this, you know, because I feel like there's a sense of therapy when you translate all these feelings into a productive outlet like this, right? The
Definitely. I've
painful.
always said writing is therapy, always.
Yeah, and I feel like this is therapy right now, right? I feel like you got a couch in there somewhere, or you know, just like lay back and then we'll start. You know, the painful breakdown and the complete blow up of your friendship with your best friend, right? I begin to think when I see something like I begin to think of the tangibles of like a message, right? Or a theme within your music. You know, is that something that's important to you, Natalie? Like themes and messages? Like, is that a big component to songwriting for someone like you?
Yeah, because I think I once you start releasing and having press, when you do press, they want you to sort of create a story about the song. And I've always loved that the most. I've loved that there's people that care like what the song's about. They care what I'm trying to teach and and people are like, oh, I relate. And like I love that whole side of it. Like obviously I love the song, but my favorite thing is creating the like story of the song and the like at the moment my identity. The girl that fell out with her best friend and has made the songs about it. And I love that. Like, I want that. There's other people that have been through that and they message me and they're like, I relate. And I'm like, good. Like, this is what I'm trying to get at. I just want other people to feel seen. The more people that tell you they understand something, the better it feels. Yeah, like, I can't remember what the question
No,
was.
it's
Yeah, I'm
great you
sorry.
said that because, you know, we mentioned therapy. It is therapeutic because but I
Yeah.
also hope that whoever is also listening to us talking, right, this podcast when it drops,
Yeah.
your music, your message, I hope it helps them as well. You know,
Yeah, me too.
we have a range of worldwide listeners on our podcast, and it really reaches out to them. And I hope you're and it sounds like it's already doing it because even the music video, right, directed by Eleanor Grace Hahn. Shout out to her, by the way. She did a great job.
It's super cool.
And it was your first time working together with her on this
Yeah.
music video. Tell me about that. You know, how was the music video? Like, did you I think you came up with the idea too? Because
Yeah.
it's a catchy song. How did you
Thank you.
know like the angles and the shots? Like, did you have to like, okay, did we get it? Go back around the camera. All right, let me go back in the front. Like how was it working with Eleanor? Like, tell me about that
It's
whole
a
experience.
story. So I went to this school called the Brit School, which is like the music school in
Yeah.
England. It's the only
You're
one that's free.
a Brit School grad actually, so
Yeah.
yeah.
Most of the people that I work with also went to the Brit School. Like throughout my life, I've stayed in touch with most people there, and they don't just do music there. They do loads of stuff. They do like film, they do acting, they do dance. Like you do everything. So the main person that I work with, his name's James, and he's done all of my music videos since, and I work with him all the time. And I basically went to him. I made like a treatment, a video. I basically made a video where I'd like drawn out what I wanted to happen and like taken bits from other music videos that I liked and like edited it in sort of like a sort of what do you call it? Like a treatment video. And there's one film in particular that I loved when I was 13. I still love it. Called 13. It came out in like 2003
That's
or
right.
four.
That's right. I forgot to mention that. I was
Yeah.
like, there's a
You never
movie that we
know.
parked. Yeah, you mentioned it. Okay.
Yeah. I love this film, 13. It's about the two friends and like how they're like they find something in each other and they bring some positives to each other's lives, but in the end it goes sour and it ends up. But like them breaking up makes them better people. So it's like it's not a regret that it happened. It's like a what have you learned from this period? And that whole film is just amazing. It's about two friends and blah blah. So that was also a reference point for this video, and that was like clips I was putting in and stuff. And then I sent it to James, and he couldn't do the video because he was not around. So he put me in touch with Eleanor, who did go to the Brit School, but I didn't actually meet her at school. But she knows all of my friends, and now she's a choreographer and director. And it was like she said that she was looking for female artists to work with this year. She said she's never done anything for anyone that's not a guy, and she was like, I just really want to work with a girl this year. So we got put in touch, and I sent her the video, and she was like, I love it. And then it just kind of happened from there. Like this year, but she's really cool. She's really, really talented, and she's re been really supportive through the whole thing as well. I feel like she's really involved in like. The whole release, not just having made the video. I feel like she's really involved, which is nice because it means she cares like I do. Just kidding.
And I love the like the colors on this music video because I learned from a director. I'm gonna mention Guillermo del Toro. He's one of my
Cool.
favorite directors of all time, and he has a way of telling the story through colors. aside from the dialogue, this music video, not even the edge, even like even heaven, you know, you told your, I feel like you told your story. I don't know if I don't know if you knew this, but I saw it. You told it in a theme aspect of just colors, like just visual
Right.
representation, aside from the lyrics. And if I just put it on mute, I feel like I can follow the story even in that aspect. So
Right.
if you haven't done that already, Natalie, go and do that
Yeah.
because that's what so, I do that a lot.
Will.
I'm a nerd when it comes to this stuff, all right? So it's like yeah, I dive into it when it comes to this, and I can't wait for the next music video. I don't know what you can
Yeah.
and cannot say about that. But even with your songs, right? I wonder how much do things change from when you first began composing on your songs, like The Edge, for example, to where you ended up finishing it. Do you already have a specific sound from day one, or does it just evolve into the final product we're hearing? I mean, because
This
you talk about
song,
remixes and all that
yeah,
stuff, that's a whole different conversation. But from day one, like how much does it change?
they're all different, like some of them really change, but this one in particular, I'll be honest, like the day we wrote it, we made a demo and I sung the vocal, and like 90% of the vocal that's come out is the vocal I did on the day we wrote it. Like it was just
That's
fine,
awesome.
like it was literally just fine. Like we were listening to it back and we put in a day to like re-record the vocals. And then when we got to the session, I was kind of like, oh, like play it again. And I was trying to sing it exactly like the day that I did it and stuff. And I was like, why don't we just use these? They're fine. Like there's all I'm trying to do now is recreate them. So I just redid the lines that like perhaps weren't as good, or the ones that I tweaked how I was gonna sing them and stuff. So I just redid a few lines. But generally, most of the song is what we had on the day, and then we've added some stuff on top. But it just
Yeah.
came really cool. But sometimes they take longer. Sometimes, like on the day we write it, it's just me and piano, and then it becomes a massive track afterwards. Like they're all really different, the journey. But this one in particular was, it was kind of done already. I felt like it came so easy. I was like, this is like, if it comes easy, then that it should be easy to digest as well. So I
When you
felt, yeah.
when you write a song, when an idea or something comes to your head, are you the type of person that sits there and stares at a blank wall and it comes to you? Or are you someone who, you know, wakes up, it's like, okay, I got an idea. I gotta write it down on paper. I gotta make a voice note on my phone, you know? How do these ideas come to your head? I know you can talk about, there's also personal experiences also, you know, you can take from that,
Yeah,
you know?
all of my songs are about something that's happened to me, pretty much. And obviously, when you write with other people, and like, when you're doing music, you get put in a lot of sessions, and you get put in like these days where they're like, "You're gonna write a song today with this person," and like sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So I've got a lot of songs where I've like written a song about something that's happened, but I didn't really care, and like it wasn't really working, I wasn't really vibing. But like it's never a wasted day. It's always practice. And a lot of the time, I take things out of those songs and put them in other songs when I'm like, that one's not going to come out, so whatever. But yeah, this one in particular, like for literally for 6 months, all I've written about is this one thing. Like I've not written about
Yeah.
anything else. It's all I've had really in my personal life going on. And like I said earlier, like people ask me what my problems are. They're all in my career. They're not really so like my friends and everyone is very nice and fine, and like I don't have any relationship issues. Like everything's just fine. So this thing has like shaken my whole world. Like this is me feeling something like for the
Yeah.
first time. I'm like really big, and it's still going on. Like it's still a back and forth. There's still like arguing going on. Like it's still going on, this whole thing. So I'm still in the middle of it. It's just yeah, I've not written about anything else. So it just poured out. I didn't need to take a minute to think about this one. I knew exactly what I wanted to say. I've got so much to say. I could probably fill like another 50 songs. I have so much to say,
Oh
and
man,
literally.
don't even get me started on future songs. I mean, that's this is, I mean, this is amazing. And what do we say? What do we say? It's therapeutic, right? When you're
Yeah,
transiting, when you're
it's great.
when you have all these feelings, it's not easy to talk about what you want to talk about, right? It's not easy for
Yeah,
everyone, but the way
not.
you're doing it, you're getting this release emotionally and mentally, and it's healthy.
Yeah.
So now we're approaching the last part of our interview. All right, it's not even an interview. Like we need the wings for this. I feel like at this point, and Natalie, we talked about I feel like we're nostalgic people. I was your room, right? What around you is something that you hold to like what dearly? Like what means a lot to you around your room? Can you show me? Like, because
Hang on, let me
things
put a
that
light.
hang on the wall, like I always ask about that. Like it's like what means something that like what means a
I've
lot to
got
you? Something
loads.
you already found it, didn't you? You
I've
already
got
did.
loads of stuff.
You
So my room, like
already.
I still live at home. So this is my
Yeah,
childhood bedroom.
yeah, yeah.
Actually, well, I was actually conceived in this room. So like, literally, I've never been anywhere but this room.
Wow.
I think it's funny. Yeah, again, it was a COVID thing. I was like, I need to start putting effort into my room if I'm going to be spending like this whole year in this room, because I'm never really here. Like, I never was. And then COVID made me be here all the time. I was like, I can't stand being in this room. It's horrible. I need to make it nice.
I'm
So
making
that's when I
Natalie. I'm
decided.
making Natalie work today, everyone. If anyone
So
has
yeah, so now I've got like literally all my releases on the wall, which I never had before. So that's
that
the
is,
Milky Way.
yeah, that's the
That's
Milky
the
Bee. That is so awesome.
yeah.
I love that you
That's
have
the
that
one I
hanging.
did with that's I that I've got three tracks on this album. It's the Grum album. Then that was his last album, and
Oh
I've
my
got
goodness, that's
three tracks on that
awesome.
one. There's the Naked
It's
EP.
I
This is
love
the
that is cool. I love
sold
that you
out
have
show.
all this hanging. Oh my
Thank
goodness,
you. I had
you
to do
should.
it. I had to. Yeah, so that's the sold out show, and then I have this wall here, which is loads of photos of all of my friends, and I like to look at it. And a lot of these people I didn't talk to anymore, but it doesn't matter because I like to look at it and be like, oh, we used to be friends. It's funny.
Man, you're making me like, so this is the only part of my room I've decorated. You're making me like, I have a lot of stuff that just like that. I have like a scrapbook actually from people I went to high school
Yeah.
and college with. And thank you for sharing that, because it's, looking back on things like that, I like things that I Blockbuster receipts mean a lot to me, for example. I still have
Yeah.
my Blockbuster membership card. Like I keep things like that. And making
Right.
scrapbooks, you're making me want to like I have a whole blank wall on this side. I'm not gonna
You
show you that. It's like a whole blank
nice.
side. I moved to this house and I haven't like put anything up. Everything's like in a box, but it's good. You should have the things that you celebrate up on there to remind
I think that I've been trying to tell people recently, like my friend just moved into a flat and I was like, you need to put up a magazine on the wall, and he was like, why? I was like, because you need to have things on the wall that like that you've done. Like it's I don't think it's like an arrogant thing. I think it's just more like I went to this studio, I wrote with this person, and their whole studio full of all their achievements, like all the festivals they play, like the posters, they printed off the posters, put them up. Every wristband from every festival they play, every artist wristband was on the wall, like everything. And I sat there looking around all the things he'd done, like this guy that I'd never spoken to. And I was like, wow, like I really rate this. Like I rate that I can see all the stuff that you've done. I love that you've got it all here. Like it's amazing that you saved it. And that was kind of the thing, to be fair. I was just like, yeah, I need to do that. I need to start holding on to this stuff and putting it on the wall. I need to have to sit
That is
around
so
and look at
awesome.
it. It's important.
Shout out to the things that we grew up with, right? Because they
Yeah.
shape us into who we are today.
They
And
do. They do.
I know we've covered a good amount of ground on this awesome conversation. Again, thank you for sharing your story and
Oh,
really
thank you.
who like Natalie Shea is all about. I feel like I wanted to give you this platform, Natalie, because to a chance to talk about who you are that you may not have had a chance to talk about in previously with anybody else,
Yeah, I've ever been asked so many questions about like who I am. I get asked a lot about who I am as an artist. Asked about who I am as an artist as
Is it
well.
just
So
me? Does it feel like the interview's starting now?
I No, it's great.
That's a crazy. From the different experiences and perspectives in your timeline that you've taken in, which you've discussed about, right? You're still young, yet you're growing, and you've already experienced plenty within all of that. Touring, the growing
Yeah.
fan base, the recognition from these outlets, and working with other amazing people, and collaborating with different artists as well. These songs, these lyrics, it's also an extension of who you are, and I'm excited to see where you go from here. This is
Thank you.
definitely something that you have a passion for, and the truth is for not for from what I'm seeing, you're seeing results. That's the
Yeah,
important thing. Yet, as I'm
exactly.
talking to you, you're so humble, and that's something I can take also. That it's
Thank
important
you.
to have that attitude. I'm going to round it out to this last question here. Have your aspirations as a musician, or hell, a human being, have they changed or evolved since when you first started performing in the industry? Like, do you see things differently today?
Yeah, like mainly down to how the industry's changed, I guess, and also my ignorance of being an 11-year-old. I was like, I'm going to be Taylor Swift, I'm going to be huge, and like, I'm going to play all the arenas forever. And I think everyone, if you don't start
I think
that
we all,
reason
yeah,
why,
we did that.
yeah,
I want her to be like the biggest rock star, but
yeah,
it's like
exactly. That's where we start. But then ultimately, like, once you get into it, it gets put into perspective, and every time you think you're close, you realize you're actually so much. Like I'm always like, oh, when I get played on BBC Radio 1, then I'll be really close. And then I got played there, and I was like, well, I'm not close at all. Like you just unlock to see how
It's like the
far you've got to go.
bar's going higher
Yeah,
now. It's like, all right, what's next?
you're not there. Like you just see it all. It's just always changing. And I think that the shift in like TikTok and how easy it is to be famous but not have fans and all this stuff, like it's already changed. But I think my actual like sort of textbook plan of life was just like do music, give it everything until I'm like 30, and then have children, and that's my plan. And that's not changed. That's what I'm doing. So yeah.
We'll have to do like a follow-up. We're like each year we have to like check in. You're gonna come back on the show. I gotta have you back on.
Yeah, I'll
But
come.
But I love everything that we talked about. Now, this is again, keep doing your thing because you're fucking good at it. All right.
Thank you
Keep
so
doing it.
much.
And I think I will see you in Austin next month. We'll be in
That'd be so
that. That's actually right
lovely.
during spring break. And I have spring break this semester. It's so weird because I'm actually a returning student and I'm graduating in May. I held off for so long and now I'm like getting my last few hours in. But yeah,
Right.
that's right during spring break. And let's stay in touch on the socials, Natalie. I'll
Yes.
let you know. You'll get to meet my brother, who's also named James. Something about James, like they just resonate with us, but he's also on our publication. And
Nice.
it would be you're going to love Austin, trust me. It's
I'm so
they're gonna be
excited.
so welcome to you and they're gonna love you. And the people are gonna be talking about you at, you know, whenever you fly back, whenever the day comes, like, who is that Natalie Shagor? Let's you know, it's like I said, remember that name. Now, before I let you go, this is the surprise. You were waiting for this, weren't you? So we're gonna get to the last part here. We're gonna finish our interview off with, I haven't done this in a while. I'm gonna do something called, you ready? The lightning round. All right. I'm gonna go down the list, Natalie. I'm gonna ask you a set of questions, and you just have to think quick on your feet. You have to pick one
Okay.
or the other. Some questions are simple, some questions are just downright ridiculous, but that's the best part, okay? You ready? You got this. You're not nervous. I know you're not nervous. All right. This is some of them may be like Texas questions just to get you prepared. All right, you ready?
Okay.
What's the capital of Texas?
Dallas.
That was the biggest giveaway. I was gonna say it's Austin because you're gonna be in Austin.
Oh, is it Austin? I
I
don't
wish it
know.
was Dallas because that's where I am. So
I don't know.
that was a good one. All right, green or blue?
Green.
Vegan or meat?
Meat.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Cats or dogs?
Cats.
Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings?
I've not seen either of them.
Oh, we'll come back to that. All right, so here in Texas. This is an interesting question because I like asking people who've never been to Texas about this. The word, there's two different ways to say this. To you, is it pecan or pecan?
Pecan.
Pecan. All right. I've had it's split down the middle because pecan pie. I say pecan. Some people say pecan. If you're, I believe if you're from like here in the States, if you're from like New York and like the Massachusetts area, Northwest, I'm sorry, Northeast, I'm losing my sense of direction. People say pecan out there.
Right.
And then anything other than that, people say pecan. So it is actually, you'll find out. You'll do your own thing in Austin and ask people. Watch what they say. All right.
I'm
All right.
interested.
Ramen or sushi?
Sushi.
Climb a mountain or jump from a plane?
Climb a mountain.
Hip hop or heavy metal?
Heavy metal, probably.
Right. If you were to spend one day in the world of the last movie or TV show you watched, where would you be? And would you survive?
I would literally just be like in London. I think the last thing I watched was like a show in London about people like doing music or something.
Do you remember the name of the show?
It was like a BBC drama. It was just about some like artists in London. I can't remember, but
Yeah,
yeah, I remember watching it and being like, oh, like
it's
my
almost like I'm giving you like a homework assignment. No music, let's just chill. Chill in your
life.
home, just watch Netflix all day.
I know.
All right. All right,
I'll
moving
do
on.
that. Okay.
Follow you home or end they stare?
Follow you home.
Yeah, deep the these are deep cuts. People don't know. That's one of our first songs that she released way back. Search that up on Spotify. It's out there. Great songs. All right. Halloween or Christmas?
Christmas.
Chicago or New York?
New York.
All right. You haven't been here yet, so
No.
let's we're, like I said,
I'm into musicals. I love musical theater, don't I? So.
Usually I ask LA, New York, Chicago is a great city, by the way. I don't ask that a lot, but I've been to Chicago each year of the last 5 years. A great place. All right. Would you rather be able to move things with your mind or know the future?
Oh, I
Feel like
guess
I
not.
know. I feel like I know this, but I want to hear it from you first.
I'd like to know the future, but I wouldn't, but I know that I would.
I know, right? But at the
Like,
same
I do.
time, it's like you know
I know
certain things. Like, how
I
do
should.
I avoid this certain thing that's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
That would freak me out. That's just me.
I feel like I'm one of those people that, like, I overthink everything and overplan everything because I don't want anything to go wrong ever. So to know things that were going wrong would be helpful.
Oh yeah, that's good. I didn't even think about that actually. That's a good one. All right. If Voldemort from Harry Potter offered to give you a hug, would you accept?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he can change Tom Riddle's life. I like asking that question. I always get that. That question freaks out people. I don't know why. Would you rather be able to speak every language in the world or be able to talk to animals?
Probably every language in the world.
I've had people who tell me, well, I can talk to my cats and dogs, so I'll just speak every language in the world. So that's like, and my dog's right outside this door, so I guess I'm with you on that one. All right, last one, and I love this one. There's a time machine in front of you, Natalie. It says the destination is your first concert you've ever attended. Man, she's taking her phone out for this one.
Need to
Uh,
plug
it,
it.
it, it says the destination is your first concert you've ever attended. Where are you, and what do you remember the most about this day? And do you take the trip?
Yeah, we're at the Miley Cyrus Wonderworld Tour 2009 at the O2 Arena. And yeah, it was amazing. It was so cool.
Do you have like pictures and like do you have a ticket stuff from that day? Because I keep
I
things like
still
that.
have the ticket somewhere. I still have the program. I bought a t-shirt. I still have that somewhere. And then literally like a few months ago, I rewatched a bit like the video of the tour video. She released a video of the tour. And to see it again, like I remembered all of it. It was so weird. I remembered
Man.
everything happened, like every song. I kind of remember the order. I remember what she wore. I remember what happened in it. Like it was all weird. I remember everything. It
It's
just
always
changed. I
crazy.
didn't know anything. It blew my mind.
Man, now who knows? You can play knock on wood, a show with Miley down the road. You're playing South by
I
Southwest, all right? That's gonna put you on the map if anything else.
would love
But Natalie, I'm not gonna keep you too much longer here. This has been a great conversation. We're gonna do this again, obviously. I'm gonna
that.
see you next month, all right? Like I said,
Yeah.
have a safe trip down here.
Thank you.
Nothing but the best for you from here on out. Much love. Again, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to do this. Because people don't know, I was DMing Natalie. I was like, is she okay? Should I DM her? Should I message her? Is she all right? We finally did meet up, so we did the interview. But Natalie, do you have any like last words? Just any shout outs? Anything else you'd like to plug in or mention as far as the Edge or any other new songs that you want
Yeah,
to? I
I
don't know. I don't
probably
know who you kind of put you on the spot, but anything else
So,
coming down the line? Because you got the touring coming up too.
yeah, like I probably will need to have new music out around May. I know what I'm putting out. I'm just kind of, I don't need to do it until I need to do it. Do you know what I mean? But I know what it's
Yeah.
gonna be. It's gonna be a good song. So yeah.
And it's gonna be great. And people who don't know, like it's Natalie's coming to the States. Make your way down here to Austin, Texas. How long are you gonna be in Austin? Just for the couple days, that whole weekend?
No, quite from like the 10th to the 19th, so quite a while, like a week and a bit.
Oh man. Okay, I got a lot of recommendations for you to check out. So
Oh, I need some foods. I want food.
I will DM you. Like I said, I'm going to Austin this weekend, and I'll
Cool.
actually compile a list of things to do. We'll
Please
be
do.
there. We'll be there for just a couple of days, but we're gonna see some friends of ours who are also performing as well.
Oh,
But
cool.
you're gonna knock it out of the park. Do you know which day you're performing, like specifically?
I think I'm doing like three little. I don't know. They haven't told
It's
me much.
surprise. Just get here. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. It's time people know about you. But everyone who's listening, this is the amazing Natalie Shea. The Edge is out now. Stream it everywhere on all platforms. It's out on Republic of Music. The Milk EP is also out. What else is out? What else you want to mention?
Oh, just the edge and the music video for the edge is the thing that
Yeah.
like that video. Pretty proud of that video. Go and watch
Yeah.
that video. Yeah,
Yeah, go watch that video. Seriously, we talked about the music
yeah.
video. Like, if that was enough, I don't know what else is enough. But,
Likewise.
and hashtag Leggy Spice.
Likewise.
We're gonna brand that. And don't forget, you can listen to this podcast on all major podcast platforms out there. Check us out at interviewunderfire.com. Again, Natalie, thank you again from the bottom of my heart. Have a
Thank
great
you.
day. Have a great week. I will
You
see
too.
you here in a couple weeks. All right. Much love.
Yes,
I'll
thank
talk
you
to you
so
soon. All
much for
right.
having
All
me.
right.
Take
We'll
care.
stay. We'll
Bye.
stay in touch. All right. Bye bye.
Yes, please do.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
I thought you liked that. Dance around the car. We wear the same hat, but I never took it too far. Wasting time, but I know I'm on your mind. How could you forget I tried? You wanna leave it all behind? You're gonna come back round, no doubt. Think I'm in the palm of your hand again. Say, honey, we go down. Turns out we were just dancing too close to the edge. And now that the feeling's gone too long, you were just a sorry excuse for
Hey guys, thanks for
friends.
listening to
But
Interview
as
Under
it
Fire podcast.
goes on,
If you guys liked what
do
you
it
heard,
now
please
or
subscribe and
just
share our channel.
dance
And
again.
please leave a five-star review as that helps us tremendously.
If you'd like to check out more, visit www.interviewunderfire.com or our social media channels on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And finally, we want to thank you all for the support you've been giving us. Keep it burning.